listening to the station for information and inspiration. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport. We are WGBB, the station that serves your community.
From our family to yours, a merry, merry Christmas. From 1240 AM, WGBB, Freeport, New York.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Came from the radio. This is your host, Mark Torres, speaking. Always keeping you on my toes there, Ryan, right? With me in the studio, I have the voice of reason, Marianne Dennett. Say hi, Marianne.
Hi there, everybody.
And I have our very own Hassan Godwin on the phone.
Hello.
There we go. And our senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino, will be gingerly walking in shortly. So if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb and listen to us on the live audio streaming. Also on the GBB website, you can see me in a high-definition camera right now. That is, if you're listening to us currently as we're playing. But if, but if it's in the future, then you...
There he goes again. I'm sorry.
Skip the logic.
Yes.
All right.
Skip it.
Okay. Something's going to take away with the news.
Take it away with the news, Mark.
Let's see. Oh, that's interesting. All right. Let's go with the easy one first.
Somebody died, I take it.
Well, I'm sure somebody died.
Let's clarify it.
Yes, we don't know about it. It's like Anne Friend died. So we just... Some people have died, and it's sad. But nothing has come across the desk.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to go with the regular news. So, where's Walt Disney Studios and Paramount Pictures have finally reached a deal regarding Indiana Jones. Disney now has the marketing and distribution rights for future films in a franchise, while Paramount will retain the distribution rights for the first four movies. Which means, for those
first
of you...
First four movies, okay.
Yes.
The movies that were already
Correct.
Created.
Correct.
Okay.
So for those of you who are not sure what this means, is that now Disney has the marketing and distribution rights, as long as the creative rights, because they bought out Lucasfilms, of Indiana Jones, which means, of course, there's going to be seven more Indiana Jones films.
Yeah,
coming down
with
the
Ben
pike.
Affleck playing Indiana Jones.
Yes.
They're going to ruin that like they're about to ruin Star Wars, but okay.
Hey, you know, if they're going to ruin one thing, might as well ruin everything.
That's perfect logic, Mark.
That's hard.
Glad you're on our side.
That's Hollywood logic right there. Speaking of Hollywood logic,
how does he do it?
Due to Paul Walker's death, production on Fast and the Furious 7 has been delayed indefinitely. While Universal and the filmmakers decide on the direction of the film, there has been speculation that the producers are even considering scrapping the production completely and starting over with a new Fast and Furious 7. However, Universal, in their genius, they still want to have a July 11, 2014 release date. So whatever they're going to do, the movie's still coming out when they say it's coming out.
Well, that doesn't make any sense. Okay, so they might be scrapping the whole project because they don't know what to do with the original the storyline and the original script or whatever without Paul Walker.
Right.
So they're thinking of scrapping that all together and or bringing in a whole new team to do the Fast and Furious, which in my opinion won't really work because I think the thing that makes the Fast and Furious work is Paul Walker and
Vin Diesel.
And I don't know, I don't speak for the man, I don't know if Vin Diesel would be part of it. if they just scrapped the whole thing and did a whole, you know, but maybe he would. Who knows? And money is money.
That's all true. Right? Money is money.
But they don't know what they're going to do, and they don't know how they're going to do it. They don't have the script or anything to do it with, but they know for a fact that it's coming out next year.
Yes, the movie is definitely 100% coming out on the release date that they have said.
All right.
Voice of Reason, do you have thoughts on the franchise?
Well, I don't know. I've seen Vin Diesel's Facebook page, and he seems to be very upset over Paul Walker's death.
Right. That's what I was saying. He seems like he's really, it's not like a fly-by-night situation for him. He's affected by it. So, you know, whatever they do, they'd have to be very delicate about, you know, about writing out Paul Walker from the script.
It's a touchy situation because, you know, you have the character and then there's footage already shot and they're like right dead middle of what to do. But as they say in Hollywood, the show must go on, so they're gonna do something. Who knows what it is.
Alright. Fair enough.
And as I was mentioning, our very own Charlie Saladino, senior correspondent Charlie Saladino, has been walked gingerly into the studio. Say hi, Charlie.
Hey.
Can you define gingerly?
Gingerly is a spry walk.
It was a sort of panic walk. A gingerly panic walk into the studio, whereas I said hello to everybody in one shot and sat down without anybody knowing until Mark said something.
Yes.
Yes.
That is the definition of gingerly.
And do you have in that being rented lips, sorry, being the senior correspondent?
Yes.
I have a news story that's right up your alley.
Is it about the Shia LaBeouf?
Yes. Did you do that?
I did not do that.
good man. That's why you're in the husband. Is that the best story you ever heard?
Yes. Why don't you share with the folks the bare bones of the
situation? All right. I'll give you the skeleton. Good old friend of our host here, Mark.
My archenemy.
archenemy, Shia LaBeouf.
Shia.
Yes. He sort of plagiarized a little work of... He created this, what was it, 15 minutes or...
It was a movie.
A movie about 15 minutes long, right? And it seems that he took a lot of ideas from a comic book illustrator.
99.9% of the ideas.
Yeah, that's a lot. And... then, when he apologized, he plagiarized his apology.
Yes, yes.
Which was a beautiful thing, because you just... And Mark will tell you the rest of the story.
Well, see, I don't even have it written down. That's the whole thing. I didn't do it.
Oh, well, that's
but,
what the
yeah,
thrust
he,
of
he
it was.
Yeah, he plagiarized a
He plagiarized his apology because he also... he apologized...
For something else.
Somebody else apologized for... Picasso. Apologize for plagiarizing art. And I can't remember what he said, but pretty much Charlotte said it almost exact to the...
word for word. The apology was word for word of what somebody else's apology was for something else.
Yeah.
And
so,
the content was 99% of something else of what he said was his. And he didn't even give credit to the creator. That was the double whammy.
It's good old Shiloh.
Yeah.
So,
I'm glad you had that.
Well, I was going to do that next week, but all right.
So basically, the guy's an idiot.
Yeah. Wait, let me see. Okay, yes.
It's only cheating.
He stole in the beginning.
Right.
And then he stole to try to make amends for what he stole in the first place.
Right.
So he's an idiot.
Yeah. Well.
Let me ask you a question. I'd love to get somebody else's opinion on this situation.
Okay.
Because it seems to me, I mean, very straight, I was born, I'm born a long time ago, not that long ago, but long enough for me, long time ago. I've seen 4 decades.
Okay.
Right? In general. Or nearing on 4 decades.
Right.
So, when I was born, there was no cell phone, there was no internet, no Facebook. No Instagram, no Twitter. No
what
things.
Did you do with your life?
I don't know. I had a Etch-a-Sketch, and I made do with my Etch-a-Sketch and my speaking spell. I did. You know, a lot of people don't remember those things, but
I remember.
And then I had a Merlin. That's what I did to entertain myself. The thing made a noise. I pressed the button to try to duplicate that noise. And then whenever I did it right, it made a happy noise, and I was happy for 5 minutes, and I considered myself entertained.
Okay.
How all that's been said, I still understand, in this day and age, with all this new thing of technology, that if I make a statement, derogatory statement, negative statement, statement, say on Twitter, I'm making a public statement.
Correct.
If I steal something and post it on the internet, or post it, or go on the airwaves with it, I know for a fact somebody out there is going to find out that I stole it, and they're going to make a report of it, and that report will go viral. I know somewhere someone is recording everything I'm doing.
Right.
Because that's the age we live in. Why is it that these rich, intelligent executives and movie stars and whatever have no clue that they're going to get caught doing the crap that they're doing? It completely confounds me. How do you not know that if you make some kind of racist or sexist remark, regardless how you feel, let's not debate. Let's not debate whether you should or shouldn't make statements like that. How do people not realize that that statement's going to get around and that they could lose their job over it?
I think it has to do with the volume of stuff out there. Since everything is recorded, everything what you do is being seen, people forget that maybe, a bigger story will pop along and then no one will care about what your little mistake is.
I just think
that's
they're
taking
idiots.
A heck of a chance.
You think they're
usually
idiots?
I think people
are
idiots. I think, with the exception of very few, because sometimes you're writing a song, and Hassan will verify this. Sometimes you're writing a song, and you think you have a real good idea, and you really put some notes together really well, and all of a sudden, you hear your song somewhere, and you realize that that's a song you really liked years ago and forgot about it. And all of a sudden, but in these cases, I just believe that these people are really out to put one over on the public, and they give the public, they don't know.
How do you not? I mean,
because they it's the money thing. It's the chikung, They said, let me see if I could do this. And what's the worst that can happen? If I do this, I'll apologize. Like, oh, my God, I'm sorry. And or in Shiloh's, he'll use anybody else's apology.
Yeah, another guy was sorry for me.
Yeah. All right. Okay. I mean, Anthony Weiner, let's not get into the details of that. But how do you not know? And your name is Weiner. It's just, to me, it's like, what are you doing?
All I could tell you, the entire staff for the Post was smiling then when that story first broke.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's what's going to happen. You're gonna have enemies, and even if you don't have any enemies, even if you are Mr. Rogers, okay, people are going to love to tear you down. Don't give them the ammunition that they need to do it. Don't give them an excuse. They're going to do it. People are going to love to do it. Even if you don't have it coming, you're the nicest guy in the world. You're Dave Thomas. You gave everybody hamburgers. They're going to rip you to pieces if they get an opportunity to. How do you not know you're making a public statement with Twitter? Facebook, maybe. You make a comment on your Facebook page. It depends on who you friended. You might be able to see it. There are things you could do to maybe filter that out, so you could still be maybe partially yourself on Facebook. Twitter goes out into the ether immediately. It goes worldwide. It goes worldwide. If you have a Twitter account, I could type in your name on Google, and I will get all the things you tweeted, even if I don't have a Twitter account.
You don't even
need a Twitter account to be able to see what other people have tweeted.
And we have a Twitter account, too.
Well, yes, and please, everybody, follow us on Twitter.
Shameless plug.
but in turn, knowing that, I don't think it came from the radio, is going to start talking about, making derogatory statements about people. or talking about how we want to throw people off roofs or whatever terrible things that people say,
well,
and get them into trouble.
I can only tell you this. If we didn't get in trouble with Herman on our show, we ain't never going to get in trouble. So
speaking of people saying things online,
Mr. Segway,
how'd he do it?
In a recent interview, Hassan's favorite director, Michael Bay, had this to say about Transformers Part 4. I wanted the first Transformers to be very suburban and less cool.
That sounds nothing like Michael Bay.
This is a much more cinematic one. I focused on keeping this one slick. There won't be any goofiness in this one. We went a bit too goofy on the last one.
So he's having someone else direct it then, that's what he's saying?
No.
He's saying he wants it to be more cinematic.
Right.
And he wants it to be less goofy. So
yes.
He's not going to direct it then, right?
Well, he might be, you know, doing second photography. They have the principal photographer and the second photographer.
Second unit.
Second unit, yes. Maybe he's doing second unit.
Or cinematography.
Yes, there you go.
Did you say second photography?
Yes, I did.
All right.
And we have the recording to prove it.
See that? And Hassan heard that and didn't let you go. Now it's out viral.
No, I didn't let it go. And it is viral.
Yes.
Mark Torres thinks it's called second photography.
Second.
He goes on to say about if the movie is a reboot or not. He says, "It feels like a new chapter of this movie, but it's not a reboot. This movie lives in the history of the Transformers movies, and this one starts 3 years after the last one."
Money. I'm sorry.
It feels fresh, he says.
It feels fresh.
It
feels like a fresh dump truck of money they just dropped on my house. That's what it feels like. I guarantee you that movie... Never mind.
you don't want to be quoted as saying this when the movie comes out? We'll replay the segment back?
Because the guy is... I'm sorry. I'm no faith that the guy has just no... he's got no credibility, as far as I'm concerned. Those last two Transformers movies were garbage. I mean, they were absolute garbage. And they were garbage in the bones. You know, they were garbage at their core. It wasn't like, well, they gave me a bad script and I did the best I could with it, you know, and I did some... I mean, they were...
The second one, there wasn't even a script.
What?
The second one, there wasn't even a script, if I remember.
That's right.
The writer's strike.
Yeah, the writer's strike. So the third one, then, let's just... Because they have no excuse for the third one. The third one was a bad script with bad acting. I mean, look, I'm not Mark. I understand Mark's pain. I don't hate Shia LaBeouf. I don't know how I got away with not hating the guy, but I don't hate him. He couldn't do a thing with the work that they gave him. There was nothing cinematically interesting whatsoever about robots that, you know, to turn into vehicles, or vehicles that can turn into robots and chase each other around in the city. For some reason, the guy has managed not to have one interesting visual in three, you know, multi-million-dollar movies that he's made. Multi-hundred-million-dollar movies, excuse me, that he's made of, on the subject, and the story was bad. The acting was not up to par, and the action sequences were not that great, you know. And he made a travesty of it. I'm sorry, and I mean it's viral. It's worldwide. I'm not the only one with those feelings, you know. He's of George Lucas proportion. For having ruined that franchise, and there's, you know, he still gets a job. They still hire him. I think Kurtzman and Orchie are still writing the script for the new one. The same guys who wrote the scripts for the other three, and also did the script for Star Trek, and then Star Trek Into Darkness, which was a disaster, in my opinion. And my opinion is shared by many others. And none of, you know, these people in Hollywood, they don't lose their jobs after making crap product after crap product after crap product. I'm just telling you, I just have no faith in the man. He can say anything he wants about it being cinematic, and it feels like a new chapter, and we're going to do new things. And I went too goofy. He went goofy, he went racist, he went sexist, he went many different directions with the previous three movies that were deplorable. You know, for hundreds of reasons, that have some of them having nothing to do with cinematography, with cinema whatsoever. It just socially and culturally, they were a travesty.
Well, Hassan, can I just interrupt for a minute? I understand completely what you're saying. I think the movies that are being, brought out by the industry, it's all sheer leaf entertainment. Whether it's good or not is debatable. I'd even have to say, all of the Transformers movies were entertaining.
You were entertained by them?
Yeah, they were entertaining. I mean, not something I'd want to have in my movie library or see a second time. I saw Thor, The Dark World.
Right.
And that was really good. That I want to see again, because not only was it entertaining, there was some good acting in it by the villain. But I do agree with Hassan. A lot of the movies that come out, they're deplorable. It's just like a mill, just grinding out movies, and a lot of them have no value. It's just for people to sit and watch for 2 hours, and that's it.
And you know, he said, "Don't hit the table." You know that that you had to see the motions going on here. I had to get that right out of there before. But you know, these people know that.
So much for radio.
You know, like Michael Bay knows everything he's reading about it, and he's like laughing as he's at the Lamborghini shop buying one. You know, and it's a sin, because he says, you know what? I don't even have to make something that good, as long as there's action in it and people will actually come to see it, whether they like it or not. The minute they come in, I have their money.
That's true.
You know?
They have your...
Especially now that we very quietly are doing things globally.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, the Thor of the Dark World was 350 million globally in the bank before it even opened here in America, so... Yeah. Now that they're doing that, they're almost guaranteeing they're going to make their nut back, off of what they spent to make the thing in the first place. They completely don't care what our after effect is, what the white noise and the white signal to noise that comes after it is going to be about. You know, they don't care about how we're going to feel about it after it opens. They need that opening weekend. They get that $100 million opening weekend. They could care less.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Right. They're set.
Exactly.
So speaking,
but, people cannot be persuaded to vote their wallets. You know, I mean, you know, if you feel like you were entertained, that's one thing. That's fine. Then go see the next few. That's fine. It's perfectly fine. We would have a debate about that in another forum. You know, maybe at dinner or something like that. But not on the show. If you actually felt like you were entertained. That's your business. That's fantastic. I didn't feel entertained one bit by that film or any of those films or films like it. And until people who are like me, who don't feel entertained by it, stop going to see them, we're not going to make any headway in changing things for the better. We're not going to get better quality. Every now and then something's going to slip through and it's going to be really great. We're all going to love it. It's going to be like a phenomenon. But for the most part, they're going to go right back to cookie cutter pattern as soon as the fervor dies down.
All right, so Hassan, are you going to see Transformers 4?
Yes. I'll be the first one. No.
So, no. Yeah, I'm sure. You might not pay for it, but I'm sure you'll see it.
I didn't see the third one.
Really? You did not see the third one?
No.
Wow.
Wow. I take that back. I've seen enough of it to have seen it on clips and...
Right, but you didn't go into and see it.
Yeah, on cable, like whatever. But I haven't. I didn't go to the theater and see it. I didn't drop any money to see it. I didn't pay attention. I have, unfortunately, the DVDs, and I'm not talking Blu-rays, the DVDs of the first two movies.
Okay.
But I didn't buy the third one. I didn't go see it. I won't see it on Netflix. I won't, I'm done. I'm not making any kind of statement about it either. I'm not, I'm boycotting this. No, it was bad. The other two were such bad experiences. It's like, eating Brussels sprouts. I'm not eating those again. So, now I have no parent to tell me to eat my greens. I'm not eating my greens anymore.
So from the disc of the Son Godwin, Transformers is like Brussels sprouts.
Transformers isn't like Brussels sprouts. Transformers are Brussels sprouts.
Wow. What do you really feel about them?
Asan just covered that in a most intelligent way, whereas if you would ask me something that I hate, yeah, I would just say, I'm not going to see it. I ain't going. Like, what's that movie I hate that I forgot the name? Skyline? Or what was it?
Yeah, Skyline.
Oh, my God.
I think we saw it together.
Yes,
didn't
we did. And I was looking for a shrimp fork to pull out my eyes.
Did you like it, Marianne?
No, I didn't like it. I went just for the heck of it, but
wow.
Yeah, no, it definitely was not a good movie.
And what about the ending there?
Movie.
Oh my God.
You did not like that movie either.
I liked that movie, except for the
second
end.
You liked Skyline?
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it for the reasons why I liked it, because it was a different movie. I felt that after seeing, what was the other one, with Michelle Rodriguez? It was like the same movie, but it was a different
yeah,
aspect.
Yeah, Battle Los Angeles.
Yes, yes. So I felt it was a different aspect. I thought the ending, the first ending, not the second ending, I thought the first ending was great. And had it ended with that first ending, I would have been like, wow, this was a really good movie.
Was the second ending where they're in the show and they drop off into these gavardels and sauce?
Yeah, that was the second ending.
Friggin' Mononata.
But I just thought that
dropping and then to go, I'm here.
I just thought that it was a different take. Whenever something is different, I have to give them credit for it, and I enjoy different. So having that different ending, I was like, wow, I can't believe they had the cojones to end the movie in this fashion. I was like, wow, that's pretty impressive. Yeah. And then they didn't. But
it was perfect for me because the movie sucked all the way through. And then they used the worst ending that they could possibly use. And it just, solidified my...
Believe me, when we walked out of there, he definitely expressed that opinion.
Perfect crap ending to a perfect crap movie.
Yes.
All right. So
you could write a song about that, one of those Top Hat and Kane songs.
Man. So with that, we're going to take our break. We'll be right back with Game Fun Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
In this world appear and break the laws that they should fear and frighten all who see or hear. The cry goes up both far and near for Underdog.
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 Speed of lightning, roar of thunder, fighting all who rob or plunder. Underdog. In this world, the headlines read of those whose hearts are filled with greed, who rob and steal from those who need to right this wrong with blinding speed, goes Underdog.
And always makes the vilest villain cower. He's rough, he's tough, and bad guys yell it up when he is up and adamant.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back with Game Fun Radio. This is your host, Mark Torres speaking, along with Marianne Dennett, Charlie Saladino, and our very own Hassan Godwin on the phone.
Yay.
There we go. And this week, we're going to be talking about the second Hobbit movie in the Hobbit trilogy, not related to the Lord of the Rings trilogy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a Hobbit separate, but a prequel. So we were actually discussing over the break, which was kind of weird because it would have been for great radio. So now we're just going to have to recreate that whole conversation.
I'm not doing it.
Marianne, I'll just bring this question to you. Is it necessary to read the books before watching the movie to enjoy the movie properly?
I don't think so. I think if you're a fan of fantasy, that you would enjoy it, you know, regardless. But having read The Hobbit like countless times, the first time I read it, I was 16 years old. And
so it was just the other day.
I wish. But it's just the original book, obviously, they made three movies out of one book. But it's more of a lighthearted tale. And I guess after doing Lord of the Rings, Peter Jackson thought he'd make it a little darker for The Hobbit, which was fine. And he still put in a little humor and whatnot. But I'd say that he's pretty true to the books as far as, you know, the tale is concerned. Maybe left out a little bit, put in a little extra. As a fan, I don't think he did any wrong with these movies.
So did you enjoy the movie thoroughly?
Yes, I did. I enjoyed it a lot.
Charlie, yeah. What did you think?
I hated it. No, I enjoyed it immensely. You got to realize, when Marianne says she read the book when she was 16, right after that, she came over and told me about it because we've known each other for years.
Years.
Marianne was the first one to add literacy to us idiots, the gang that we had, which included Herman after a while. And when she told us about the book, we all looked into it, and especially that we were musicians and we were seeing references popping up in music all over the place, especially Zeppelin, as we all know. And for me to go see this now, it was very enjoyable that it now's the time it could be done right and done the way it was, especially Lord of the Rings. There was no way they could have made that back when we started reading the books. No way. And so for me to sit there, and it's just a very enjoyable experience to see everything coming to life. And as Marianne says, more than everything, you know, for the search for more money, for
right,
this,
right.
You know, more than everything, he didn't need, I don't think he needed to stretch it into three movies. You know, if he wanted to stretch two movies, would have been fine. But,
it's all about the trilogy. You got to have the trilogy money.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess you're right. But, it's like in the case of the Beatles when they did the White Album. George Martin always said, this would have made a great single album because there was a lot of little extras in there, which was just, you know, and I'm a big Beatle fan, but it was just crap, you know, and them experimenting with stuff and everything like that. So in this case, I think you're absolutely right to search for more money, and he paid a lot of things. But still, as a Hobbit fan, as, you know, I was sitting there and especially this one, because I felt there was a lot more action in this one.
Yes.
Because you never, it never stopped, you know?
What about you, Hassan? What did you think of that movie?
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I actually think that I don't think you need to read the book. I think if you've read the book, it could actually ruin your experience, because sometimes you're sitting there comparing incidents that in the book with stuff that happens in reality. Some people can be entertained anyway, but a lot of people are like, you know, especially these days, they're constantly looking for things that are wrong. And, you know, a screen adaptation of literature, there's always going to be things that are different, that are nowadays quoted, you know, translated as quote-unquote wrong. I don't think that it was Peter Jackson that made the decision to turn it into three movies. Now, I don't have any proof of that. That's just my own speculation. But I think it was just, that has New Line Cinema all over it.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, that, you know, turn this into another blockbuster for us, you know, like you did 10 years ago.
Well, not and, just that, Hassan, it's not just New Line Cinemas now, it says Warner Brothers.
Right.
I don't know if that was the case with the previous
New Line Cinemas,
yeah.
Like a monster.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, which has its own issues. I still, regardless of it, me personally, it's kind of like the Michael Bay thing, where anything he does, I'm going to be
Negative?
Suspicious of? Not necessarily negative. If Michael Bay made a movie that I enjoyed, I would tell you I enjoyed it. You know? I would do it. I've done it. Joss Whedon did it. You know, I'm not a big fan of his, but I did not go on the air and say that Avengers was not good when I actually thought it was.
True.
So if Michael Bay made a good movie, let me rephrase that. If Michael Bay made a movie I thought was good, then I would tell you. But it's not so much Peter Jackson as it is fantasy. I have just an affinity for this kind of stuff, like this huge epic sweeping scoping stuff, especially when it's done well. And Peter Jackson up to this far, has done it well.
Hassan, have you read any of the books?
I read The Hobbit a long time ago, but not recently enough where I remember it thoroughly. And I try to read Lord of the Rings at least once every 2 years.
You try to read it every once every 2 years?
Well, I try to. I've read it several times.
Oh, okay.
I try to read it every 2 years.
I got you.
Well, Hassan, and as a fellow fan, You probably do enjoy the movies because you know that there were previous attempts to make animated movies for this.
They were, in my opinion, not that great.
No, definitely not. There was Rankin and Bass that did The Hobbit, which was like a little cutesy pie type of Grinch type thing. I don't know.
I didn't like that Bilbo had a red nose and there was an elf next to him.
Yeah. And then the... I don't know if you'd call him the artist or whatever, Ralph Bakshi, I think
it
was. He tried. I don't think he finished it, but he tried to do Lord of the Rings.
Yes, he did.
So, like, with all these half-you-know-what attempts throughout the years, I've been starving for someone like Peter Jackson to come along and to do this well, and I feel he's done it very well.
I agree. I think I just recently watched the first three again. And I'm talking like the 4 or 5 hour versions of each, the extended version. I can't get enough of them. I think they're fantastic. But I think if I was like a stickler for that, I have a couple of friends who are really, really into Lord of the Rings, into that book. Like just like they make their religion out of that. And they express a lot of unhappiness with some of the changes that Peter Jackson made. I respect that, but I just don't see the point sometimes. I think if it's a well made movie, close enough to what you wanted, cinema could be so easily destroyed, and there's so much bad cinema. But if you get any kind of good cinema, I don't see why you would lessen your chances of enjoying it by starting to make unfair comparisons with a 50-year-old book. It just doesn't, it's not fair. There's no way they could make a page-for-page, word-for-word version of that book into a movie, or into three movies, into five movies. There's no way they could do it.
So I'm coming from a different place from everybody. Then I haven't read the books. I have seen the animated movies way back in the day, and I haven't seen the other Lord of the Rings movies. So I only saw the first Hobbit because it was the first one. I figured I'd start from fresh. And I told you when we talked about the first movie how I thought it wasn't a bad movie, it wasn't a good movie. It just was kind of there. It was kind of long, and I was like, huh, all right, I got two more of these to go through. So that was what I was going in with this one. I was like, all right, this is all I have was the first movie to base everything else off of. So I see the second one. And once again, it wasn't a great movie. It wasn't a bad movie. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, stuff's happening. All right, I'm with the characters. But man, this is taking a long time. And I still got one more movie to go. So I was entertained.
Taking a long time to do what?
To end. Like the a couple of scenes sitting there thinking, boy, this is kind of dragged out.
That's interesting, but why would you want it to end? Why were you looking for the end?
Well, it's because, beginning, middle, and end. I got enough of the beginning. In the first movie, they could have done the whole thing. I'm sitting in the first movie, I'm like, all right, so we're almost there, they take some birds, and they still have more to go. Yeah. Like, well, they could have took the birds all the way, and then we would have been fine. Right. So then I'm like, all right, we got two more to go. So I'm like, all right, I'm gearing up for the second one. I know it's going to be a long movie, and I've seen long movies before. So, and this one I actually saw in pieces, so I wasn't even sitting there like, oh, I'm sitting here for a long time. I'm just sitting in watching in chunks, as I sometimes do. And I'm thinking, man, this is getting a little dragged out. There was Jackie Chan had said that an action scene can only last for a certain amount of time before people just start to lose interest. I think the scenes were a little longer for me, and my interest level is shorter time than what it was presented to me on the screen. It wasn't a bad movie at all. I mean, it was visually great. It was interesting. I was like, all right, let's keep it moving. I felt that it was slow. It was just slow. I felt that we could have gotten to where we needed to get to by the first movie. They could have gotten to the dragon.
And yeah, I watched the special editions.
Yeah, well, that's, I think, the first movie put you in the first movie.
There you go.
The first The first movie set yourself up with the first movie, because in your opinion, it was dragging, and I got to sit through two more of these.
Yeah.
So I think that set your mood for the other two.
Maybe.
Or for the other one.
It's quite...
And, I don't appreciate that. No.
I don't understand that. I don't get... I mean, you know, the problem is, like, it's like people who don't like Italian food. You know, like, if you love it, you don't understand how people don't. So, it's kind of that mentality. I only understand good and bad. It's a good movie, it's a bad movie. I don't get it's a long movie. You know, I don't understand it, so I'm waiting for the end. When's the end coming along? Because, I mean, if things are happening and things are moving, and certainly in that movie, there was, the second one, certainly there was a lot of things happening. There was a lot of moving. There was a lot of story. There was a lot of exposition being given. There was a lot of movement. There were a lot of action sequences. There was a lot of blood and sweat and tears and comedy. So if you're sitting there through all of this, you know, gobbling your popcorn, waiting for the end,
I'll put it this way.
Different species, I think.
In the climax of the movie is when they end the thing with the dragon, right?
Spoiler alert.
Well, I mean, it's dragon in the trailer. There's going to be a dragon in the movie. There better be a dragon in this one if you're waiting the whole time to get the dragon in the first movie.
The dead giveaway was the desolation of Smaug.
Yeah.
You know, Smaug had
That whole scene, while very pretty, it took a long time to get resolved. I felt that they could have shortened it, and it would have been fine. So that's why I'm saying, let's kill the dragon, or let's let the dragon loose. Whatever's gonna happen with the dragon, let's hurry up instead of we're gonna hide over there, and then we're gonna hide over here. Like, all right, I got it. Let's move on.
All right, dragon.
Yeah, but I mean, the entire time the dragon was monologuing, so you were supposed to be listening to everything that the dragon had to say while they were moving from here to there.
Yes, he was taunting them, and all right.
Well, he's giving you pertinent information about, just basically the story and where he came from and what his point was and why he was there and, where he came from and foreshadowing a few things that are to come.
Right.
So, like, that's all pertinent information he's giving you in the midst of while he's looking for people to burn to death.
He could have said it a little quicker. I'm just
That wasn't in the book. That whole scene there, it was really, the monologue was between the dragon and Bilbo.
Right.
And then they made this whole big thing with the dwarves, which is fine. I think the dwarves' characters were developed a lot more for the movies. Mm-hmm. They really were just a bunch of old men in the book,
Yeah.
It really made it a lot more interesting. They figured throw in a couple of hot elves, Keely and Feely. That didn't hurt, Mm-hmm. So, but I think the whole problem is this sequel business, this trilogy. It started with, what do you call that?
Star Wars?
Twilight and... No, but recently, everything is three movies. It's,
Well, that's four now. The Hunger Games is...
They're going to break the last two into two movies.
Ugh.
Yep.
Yeah.
What was the last one? Twilight Breaking Wind? What was that? I don't remember.
Breaking Dawn Part 1, Breaking Dawn Part 2, yeah.
Twilight, Breaking Wind.
It's actually, I think this last thing was because of the Harry Potter. When they broke the last movie, then all of a sudden it's like, wow, we can take one story and break it into two parts.
They had to break the last Harry Potter film in half. Mm-hmm.
Because it was so long.
That book was extensive. You know, you couldn't... You spent seven movies watching these people, and they can't just rush the finish.
Well, it may have been justified. Hollywood saw it as, holy crap, we can now take any ending and break it into two movies. We can stretch it out as much as possible, and we'll make the money. So it wasn't so. Maybe it needed to do that, but then both parts made tons of money. Yeah. So that's all they saw, tons of money.
And especially with Potter, they left it where they could write more books, like Harry Potter, the kids, you know? They left it like that. But, I am in shock that Jackson didn't do a King Kong trilogy. We got that in one movie. I'm glad.
That was a long movie also.
Yes. Because I don't think the studio asked him to split that story into three movies.
But I think if it was made now, they probably would.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get that first whole chunk of that King Kong movie is like, all right, let's get to the ape. That would be the first movie.
The jungle.
That would be the entire first movie. They don't even see the ape until the very end.
You couldn't get away with that. Yeah. You couldn't get it. The Godzilla movie is not going to be a trilogy. You know? Maybe it'll be a trilogy, but the whole Godzilla movie is going to be Godzilla, and then they'll kill him, or think they'll kill it, they killed him, and then, then he'll pop out at the end with Jason Statham, and, it's his name from,
What is this business with, they really know how to beat a dead horse. Didn't we just have a Godzilla movie not too long ago?
That was a Godzilla movie, and it wasn't long enough ago.
And it's so funny because they said, oh, we got to stretch these Godzilla movies, we got to make another one. Well, Toho Productions have been doing that
30 years.
All through the 60s.
What I don't get, and here's a new trend that's bad, and this is not going anywhere good, is now trailer bashing. Now you get trailers that come out, and now you have people who do reviews of trailers. Before the movie even comes out, and then on top of it, there's always one of two spectrums. Either they're completely immaculate, they're godlike, they're sent from God, they're totally amazing.
Just
whatever footage, or they're the worst trailers you've ever seen. Those are the two spectrums on the internet. Now I will cop to it. I was part of it with Interstellar, the trailer for
the new
Christopher Nolan's new movie.
Right,
because it's horrible. One of the worst trailers I've ever seen in my life.
Doesn't mean the movie will be bad. It's just as bad.
Of course not. But I mean, look, this is the thing. The trailers are now becoming events in and of themselves. Trailers are advertisements. Come see my movie. Spend money on my movie. This movie is more amazing than the last two movies that you saw a trailer for. And, here's some explosions, here's people who are in it, here's some people who may or may not die, you gotta come to see and find out if they die or not. That's what you're supposed to see. It's not supposed to be a prelude to a religious experience. They're supposed to get your money. They're supposed to amaze you, okay? So it's like, I saw this, the Interstellar trailer came out, and it was terrible, and a lot of people are like, well, Christopher Nolan's never let us down before. Right, but he's supposed to show us a reason to come to... I'm not going to his movie just because he's Christopher Nolan. I'm going to his movie because it's going to be a darn good movie. And I suspect it will from what he's shown me in his trailer.
All right, before we even get into that, I mean, I'm going to do a quick thing based on what you just said, because it's a very interesting topic, and I want to just quickly go around the room. For today's day and time, does a trailer make you go see a movie? Has there ever been a time like you saw a trailer, I have to go see that movie? Or is it just I'm gonna see the movie regardless if there was a trailer or not? Hassan? Yes, no?
Yes.
Yes. Mary?
Yes.
Yes.
So the trailer has brought you in, still brings you into the movie.
I want them to make a movie about trailers.
I would personally say,
see that, because when you go to the movies, it's as long as a movie now, the trailers.
Today's day and age, I would say no. I would say that a trailer would not make me go see a movie. Just like, what's it about? Who's in it?
You're too close to it. You're too close to it.
I don't know. I was like, okay, who's going to be in it? What's it about? I'll go see it. It's very rare.
I saw the trailer for the Wolverine. I was like, oh my God, they made another Wolverine movie? Why? And then I saw the trailer, I'm like, ooh, that looks good.
Like, there's tons of movies right now I'm going to see just because I know I'm going to see it, just like based on title alone. Like, who's in it? What's going to happen?
I
haven't seen the trailer for Godzilla, and I already knew I was going to see it.
That's your mistake. the Godzilla movie with Matthew Broderick was like, okay, another American Godzilla movie. No. They showed the teaser, not even the trailer that's out now. Unfortunately, the trailer and the teaser are very close. There's just a little more footage in it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the teaser that they showed was astonishing. And I know I hate using those superlatives. Astonishing. I wasn't astonished more by what I saw, but I was astonished at the ingenuity and the craftsmanship they put into the trailer itself.
That's why they should make movies out of it.
Oh, I have a question for the group.
All right, quick
is there
question.
Anyone here who is waiting with bated breath for Ron Howard to do a Dark Tower movie from Stephen King?
No,
I would watch
it. I
would watch it.
You have to read those books. It's awesome.
If they said they were going to make a movie, I would go see it without even seeing a trailer.
Yeah. Well, that's you, Mark.
I'm just saying. She's asking my opinion. I'm giving my opinion.
If I knew when I'm probably going to have to start reading the books, because anything Ron Howard does, it's you know, pretty much works out well.
All right. So with 3 minutes to go, we're going to go around the final thoughts. So see the movie, don't see the movie, Hassan?
See it.
Marianne?
Which movie?
The Hobbit.
I saw it. It was great.
No, but you... Listeners. Yes, we have listeners.
They're
sitting on bated breath to want to know if we should see it.
Well, if you love fantasy and you love all the Marvel, you know, movies, definitely go for it. See it.
Charlie?
Definitely. It has a lot more action, and I can't wait till they do the third one, and then they put it on all on DVD, because then I'm going to have the whole set, and I'll start with watching The Hobbit, and then go to Lord of the Rings.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So I'm going to see the next one, then go off.
Sit one week.
Or yeah, so one week, day, yeah.
You know, bring the rations in and watch the whole thing.
So 3D, no 3D? Last, yes, no 3D?
You know me with 3D. That's getting
you
to
don't
be...
Need it. I saw it in 3D. You don't need to.
Yeah, 3D, no 3D?
I like 3D. I think I'm spoiled because I tend to go to the 3D rather than the 2D, but I don't think it's necessary.
All right, I say see the matinee. It is worth watching. And see it in 3D, because if you're going to see it, might as well see it in 3D, just to get the visuals. If it was entertaining, so I say go see it on early. Don't go waste the extra money if you don't have to.
Okay.
So that about does it for this week on It Came From the Radio. Join us right here and every week on WGBB. If you have any, what were you going to say? I see you ready.
I was going to say, Marianne Dennett for coming.
Yes, the voice of reason. Yes,
and I wanted to wish everybody Merry Christmas. I know that's not politically correct.
Yes,
but
Merry Christmas,
care.
Happy Holidays.
Merry Christmas.
And we will see you next week.
Decades.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.